Praise his name. That's what the church is about, amen? Loving on each other and sharing. While y'all were singing, I thought of Ken. You know what he would have said? If you and Tim keep working on that, y'all might learn how to sing and play the piano. Got a lot of good memories here. I don't know all of you, but a lot of new faces here. I had the privilege and honor to serve here for 10 years as pastor, preach here. I counted it up 1,536 times I stood here over the 10-year period of time and did my best to glorify my Savior. Because that's all I'm about. It's all I am. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about Him. Amen? Because without Him, we can do nothing. And I want to remind you of that. I've come home to kind of turn loose. Y'all with me? I don't get to preach very often, so I've got it stored up in me. Now, I got a little fancy job to do here that I hope to be able to do something with. And I should be seeing it or something. What about that PowerPoint thing? Is it supposed to be up there? There it is. Father Abraham's great faith. That's what I'm speaking on today. And I want you to turn with me, if you want to turn in your copy of God's Word, to Hebrews chapter 11. You'll see there, 8 through 12. Why Abraham? Well, I'm going to explain it to you in just a minute. We've come home, and homecoming, I think that homecomings are the best Reader's Digest version of the Feast of the Tabernacles. You go to Leviticus chapter 28, and I won't ask you to turn there, but you go to Leviticus chapter 28, and God told Moses to tell the people every single year, have the people of Israel, all of the families, come back to Jerusalem, and once a year they come in and they, for 8 solid days, they tell the old stories. Can I get a witness? They talk about Father Abraham. They talk about Moses. They tell all the stories. They gather in booths. It's called the Festival of Booths, Festival of Tabernacles. This is homecoming, I believe, is the closest thing that we as Baptists do that. Now, we have a Reader's Digest version. We come for one morning and we have a meal. But they have a meal every day, and it's a special meal. And at the end of the day, they don't have a meal. They have a solemn assembly after 8 days. And I think it would probably do us good to do that every now and then, amen, on the 7th month. And so they would tell the stories. And today I've come to tell one of our fathers that we need to hear his story regularly. We need to learn from him. And if you read the Old Testament from Genesis chapter 12 to the end of the book, Abraham is sprinkled into just about every single one of them. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen. And go get some chicken. All right? Praise his holy name. Now, if you will, if you have your copy there, by faith Abraham, I'm going to have to turn this way, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of the promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she was considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, and here it is, therefore, from one man, and him as good as what? were born descendants, as many as the stars of the heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham was 2,000 years on the other side of the cross. We're 2,000 years on this side of the cross. He looked to the cross like you and I look back to the cross. He looked to the cross. He looked forward to the cross. He looked forward to the cross while we look back to the cross, but the same amount of distance. And he's put in place something that for the last 4,000 years, people of God need to be reminded of day in, day out because of what we're going to cover today. Will you bow with me for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful time of fellowship, this feast that we're about to partake of, the feast that we have already taken part of. That single square of bread, that tiny few drops of juice. We need that more than we need the food that we're about to go eat in just a few minutes. Because without that, what we've already eaten, nothing else really matters. So we bow in your presence now and ask you to just speak to our hearts. Encourage us today. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Our father in the faith, Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and 17. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and Abraham. Three names. Now, you know that there are generations in between these, but these three men are connected. Matthew, who is a Jewish scholar, who is understood Jewish life, he writes to the Jewish people, so they know. So he tells us something we need to remember, those three names. And then he says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And if I had time, and if we had 8 days, I would read every single name between the one. But I didn't do that. I'm going to go right on to 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. I don't know if you've read the genealogies lately. I'm sure some of you have had some good devotional times during the genealogies. And I know you know all the names. That's 14 plus 14 plus 14. I can't even add that up, much less know the names. Amen? And so here it is. But you see, Matthew says these three names. There's Abraham and David. We may not remember all of the people who are in between, but we remember these three men, and today I want to focus on the life of Abraham. Abraham, 14 generations, that's families. David, 14 generations. Babylon, captivity, 14 generations. Jesus Christ, and here it is, the Christian family lineage. You and I are brothers and sisters. Hello? You ain't just other people. You're not just other people. Now, there are people on this planet I don't know, and I don't know where they stand, but the people in this room, you walked in here because you live your life to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? You and I are on the same page. If you're not born again in this room, you are not a family member, but we want you to be one. We would give everything for you to become a member of our family. I would do anything for you to do. Paul said it in Romans chapter 9. He said that he would go to hell so that his brothers would come to know Christ. If it were possible, if he said, if, now you think about the love of a man who would say that, amen? That's in our lineage as well, because Paul's a brother, amen? Paul said he would, if him going to hell would keep you from going to hell, he would go to hell so that you wouldn't go to hell and you could go to heaven and be with Jesus. I don't know about love, but that's pretty good love, amen? And that's the kind of church relationships we should have. That we would die for each other here because this is family. This isn't just other people. You may not know their names. And you may not know the names of the people in this room. But because of this reality, all who are born again belong to Christ. You say, how do I? Romans 8 tells us that. Romans 8, 14. 8 through 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All? For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, what? Abba, Father. I was in the airport the other day, and I heard, Abba! Abba! It was a little boy, and he was from a different nationality, but he was crying out, Abba. And I knew what that meant. I don't know his language. I don't know his nationality. But he was saying, Abba! Amen? And I thought of this passage right here. Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. Amen? Now, you probably, some of y'all got up this morning and said, Abba! Lord, help me. Some of us get up every morning, it's good morning, Lord, and sometimes it's good Lord, it's morning. y'all catch me with that. Anyway, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Some of y'all need to learn how to go, Come on. Y'all with me? We are children of God, and if children, then heirs. I've come home to remind you that we inherit the universe. We own it now. Hello? Because I'm born again, I'm going to inherit all of the universe. Some of y'all up here looking at me, I'd just like to have a free pass at Walmart. That'd be fine with me. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Now here's the kicker. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. You be born again. It's always easy street once you get born again. Yeah, I heard a back there. Somebody getting happy down here, ain't they? No. We suffer, don't we? We suffer personally because of our own sin. Would you agree with me? Say amen. We suffer because of the sins of others. And we don't deserve to be hurt by them, but their sins hurt us. Can I get a witness? Some of you in this room right now are hurting because of somebody else's sin who has washed into your life and just about knocked your feet out from under you. And you didn't do a thing but wake up that morning. You know what I'm talking about. We suffer. We suffer, and we've got brothers and sisters in Christ across this world who are having their heads decapitated. Not too long ago in Nigeria, 300 people just like us in a church service, and the Muslims come in and burn the church down, lock the doors, chain them up, and burn the church down with the women, children, and everything. 300 of them died in a die just because they glorified Christ. So we suffer for the sins of our own life. which may be the most painful. The second most be the other people we suffer. And we suffer death sometimes. We suffer. So being a part of the family doesn't mean we're not suffering, amen? And we need, and the reason why we need a church so bad, the reason why we need to be a part of church and quit neglecting church is because we need to encourage one another, amen? Because we're suffering at some point in our life. Now, it's not all suffering. We've got some good, amen? I want to show you a good thing in my life. I got two new grandsons. One of the greatest days of my life right there. And just a few months ago. Adopted! I understand the spirit of adoption now better than I've ever understood it. They are not my blood kin. It's greater than that. Hello? They were adopted. Levi's over on the left. He likes Spider-Man. And Luke is on the right. He likes Paw Patrol. It's all we watch when we're at the house. I mean, I know every Spidey thing, and I know every Paw Patrol thing. We just rescue the world all the day long, you know. But when they come out of that courtroom that day, I understood the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption isn't some judge signing a piece of paper. It is from heaven itself. And they come on there, hey, Big Daddy. Mm-hmm. It's not all bad. But let one of them get hurt. Levi broke his arm. And I lost sleep over that. Y'all with me? Say amen. So here it is. Jesus said this. 11 times in the gospel, he said, why are you afraid? Oh, you have little faith. You know this story. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea. And they were in the boat with the creator of the universe, and they got afraid. They were in his physical presence. Mitch, they were probably no further than me and you are from each other. Jesus is over there pretending to be asleep. I just seen if y'all was listening. They had seen him raise people from the dead. They had seen him heal people. They had seen him do all this. And they were afraid in the boat with the Savior right within hand's breadth of them. Don't tell me you and I can't get afraid and suffer, and especially when suffering comes. Anybody want to say amen? Don't tell me that some of you in here, I'm telling you, even this message is for me because I know what it is, but I'm also here because I believe the Lord wants me to share this morning, that we've got to understand that there is a little faith and there's a great faith, and we need each other to encourage each other to great faith. We need to be examples of great faith. One of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life recently was whenever one of my AMS counterparts over in Kanaka County, Joey Rogers, some of y'all might know him, 2 children, young daughter, her and her brother lived in the same house, no evidence of anything, maybe some hints, but no reason why she would die in the middle of the night. This just happened not too long ago. That's suffering, amen? They went to bed with a healthy 20-something-year-old daughter with as much potential as any child on the planet, and they wake up that morning and their child is dead. and they began to suffer. At the funeral, Joey stood up to speak her name, and me and three other guys were sitting on the pew watching Joey, and it began to be real that what would prevent me from losing mine? But that man stood behind the pulpit, and he read scripture, and he didn't say it, but the bulk of what he said, "Hear my heart," was this: "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know where he learned that? In that book right there. And he not just learned it in the book, he learned it because he saw it in the life of other people who had lost their children, and they got up and came to church anyway. I've come to remind you today that we may suffer. We may suffer. But suffering will cause little faith. And usually what the problem is people start dropping out and back whenever they begin to suffer. Would you agree with me? Say amen. Problems come. And a lot of Christians who know the Lord but have forgotten a very vital element of faith begin to pull back from the church, pull back from the Word, pull back from their friends, go into a hole, and begin to essentially curse God. Would you agree with me? Say amen. And I've come to know, now some of you here, you're probably happy as you can be today. You're on Gee Whiz Mountain in Hallelujah Square. And trust me, it's going to get better. I had to carry you down and see how, you know, the good news is good news because the bad news is bad. Anybody want to say amen? So I got some good news coming. But listen to my heart. I've come to remind you today that God has called us and equipped us to have great faith and not succumb to the devil's temptation to have little faith. Jesus warned them 11 times. He told his disciples, You of little faith. I mean, and he was not nice about it. He wasn't a nice guy standing before nice people telling them to be more nice. He said, "Get your act together. You have reason to have great faith. I am standing here with you. You have seen me do things that only God can do. Trust me. And you can have great faith." That doesn't mean you don't suffer. But how you suffer does matter. And so I've come this morning to talk about that in the life of Abraham. And then I'll be done. Todd told me a while ago when he whispered in my ear, "I've got to go get the chicken." And I said, "Well, that's what preachers do. We just go get the chicken." You know, Jeff, that's what we do. I mean, somebody had to go get the chicken. I don't know how he got that job. He said, "But when I get back in, you got to quit preaching." So when y'all see Todd, you just say, "Hey, he's here. You can stop now." Father Abraham's faith was great because he trusted God not knowing where he was going. Some of you here this morning, and y'all hear my heart. Some of you listen. You're worried about the future. You're on a road, you don't know where it's going to take you. And it's tough. At least one person I know. But look what the Bible says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive. And he went out what? Not knowing where. In other words, do you know that when he started from Ur, he started on that journey. You know how many years he walked? 100 years. He was 75 years old when he started the journey. He had been promised by God that he would have a baby. and that baby would give birth to us. Albeit we're adopted, hello, but we're just as part of those sands and stars as the Bible says, amen. He'd been promised. 27 years went by before he has the baby. 99 years old. He's 99 years old. Sarah's 90. And he kept on walking. He never got to where he thought he would go. You know what he was looking for? Heaven. You know where you're going? Some of you are going somewhere. Listen to my heart. And I've come to warn you today. Some of you got your eyes on the road and you've taken your eyes off of God. Faith is keeping your eyes on God even when you don't know where you're going. He didn't know where he was going. He wandered in. If you tell the story, man, there was a lot of difficulties. He says, by faith he obeyed, not knowing where you're going. And I've come to tell you that that's a question in your heart. This morning, if you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, what, you know, you're just, I'm on a track that's just taking me down this wrong road. I'm telling you, you need to start doing today, renew your life, or continue being faithful. And if you don't have enough faith and you're fearful today, it's because you don't want to spend time with the God of this universe who will give you the faith that you need. Now that, hello, it got quite quiet. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you've got a heavy burden, you've got a heavy worry about where you're going, it's because you're not spending time with the Lord. And you say, well, that's simple. That's just too simple. Well, give it a shot. Amen? The good news is Jesus said he would promise that to us. Think about that for just a moment. If you'll spend time with me, the image of Jesus at the right hand of the Father saying, come to me and lay your burdens in grace, and I've got enough grace and mercy for every problem you've got. I don't know where I'm going this next year. I made a radical change, scared the daylights out of me, Jeff. I thought, I'm a creature of habit, and I'm out of my comfort zone right now. And I don't know where it's going to lead me, but I know God is leading me there. I'm going to go up there and be with a 2.5-year-old and a 5-month-old little girl, and I'm terrified. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to be alone with them. And I got to keep them alive. They got to be alive when the parents come back. Y'all think I'm joking? But I know God's told me to do it. And that's where I'm going. Some of you are terrified. And I'd use a silly illustration, but some of y'all facing some serious stuff. Todd, you're back as a chicken here. I got to land this plane then, don't I? All right. I'm going to land it real quick. You see where I'm going. It's simple preaching, but it's all I got. Father Abraham's faith was great because he trusted God not knowing when. Look at this. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. In other words, he was a tent. He was always moving. He was just, he didn't know where. Heirs with him of the same purpose, for he was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He had 317 or 16 servants that went with him, and I can imagine when they started that journey, those servants, he was a rich man. He had camels and cows and boats and all that stuff. And he had all this stuff, and he had all these servants, and they had to go with him. So they were all walking together. And you know, day after day, there's just, you know, when is this baby coming? 27, 20, 20, 20 years go by, and finally the servant, the head servant comes to the Abraham and says, Abraham, brother, we've been out here 20 years. When's all this that you said was going to happen? You know, we started over here and we're here, and when's all that going to happen? And he said, well, I'm waiting for Sarah to have a baby. And by this time, she's almost 90 years old. And he goes back and tells, you imagine what he told the other, Jeff, you remember what he told the other servants? He said, we're going to die. We're going to die here. The old man done had a sunstroke. We're going to die. Because 90-year-old women don't have babies. Even back then, they didn't have them. They sure don't have them now, amen. But he believed God for the win. And he just kept doing what he knew to do until he knew what to do. He just kept doing it. And one day, at the age of 99, Sarah 90, God said, now. 27 years, wait on something, 27 years. Some of y'all been waiting a long time for things to change. And you've come in here suffering. God, when are you going to change that spouse? When are you going to change that child? When are you going to change that boss that I work for? When are you going to change my situation? When are you going to change this health condition I have? God, it just hurts, Lord. Please do something. Please do something. Paul prayed that prayer. He had a thorn in the flesh. And what did God tell him? He said, three times, he said, take the thorn out of my flesh. And he said, I'm not going to take it out. My grace is what? I got one sister out there. Sister, say a little louder.
Sufficient.
That's when somebody should have said, mm-mm. Hallelujah. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Some of y'all needed to hear that this morning, because I think some of y'all are questioning whether or not God really loves you, because it keeps on hurting. But God said, and you know, Sarah laughed whenever when she was told she was going to have a baby, she laughed, but God got the last laugh. Anybody want to say amen? Amen. Now we'll do this and then we're done. Father Abraham was great, because he trusted God, not knowing how God could. And I love this. You know, two shall become one flesh, saying Abraham, one person. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had been promised. Abraham's wife believed. Show good when two, husband and wife, can believe in faith. Anybody want to say amen? I think probably one of the most difficult things on the planet is when a husband and wife are not in lockstep in their faith. When the husband's too far ahead and the wife just is not unwilling to catch up. And when the wife is too far ahead and the husband's too lazy to catch up. That's a miserable condition. Anybody want to say amen? But when you get them both sitting there thinking, hey, God can give a baby to a 90-year-old woman. He can fix my problem. My wife and I, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me here, Todd, is it getting cold? You don't even care, do you? I love you, brother. I just want you to know. He's back there saying, sick him, Steve, stick him. He's, you know, at least that's what I thought I heard. Listen. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me on this pulpit was about 3 or 4 years in, right over there that we had some chairs there. And one night, right here, I called for a solemn departure. Y'all know what a solemn departure is? A solemn departure is just, it's not anything new. It's when you pray and you pray together, and you just leave quietly until the last person leaves. That's a solemn departure. You don't leave with the hubbub and the shaking of the hand. You just leave with a sense of solemn commitment on your heart. We ought to be doing it more often, amen? I mean, but the solemn departure. I called for one, and I was over here, and this is what I told him. I said, now, all of you, we're going to have a solemn departure tonight, and we were praying for revival, and I said, now, you get up to leave. I said, but here's what I ask you to do. If you get up and you look around and you're the last person that's in the room, you come over here and tap me on the shoulder and say, you're the last person. Just tell me that everybody's gone, because I'm going to pray until somebody taps me on the shoulder. Almost 2 hours I sat there. That was a blessing to me. Well, the first hour was pretty good. Then I ran out of something to pray for. Jeff, I didn't know what to do. I'd done prayed for every missionary I knew. I'd done went to every country. I'd done every preacher. I'd done all my youngins, a dog, a cat. So I was like, y'all are looking at me spiritual like you don't know what I'm talking about. But I said, Lord, you got to. And so then I started listening. Good idea. And right there, he told me, this is probably 2010, 11, 12, somewhere there. He said, you need to pray every night with your wife before you go to bed. I said, Lord, every night. Every night. And ever since then, man, most incredible things that's ever happened to me in my life has been the commitment to pray with my wife every night. And we don't miss very many nights because we've got children and we've got grandchildren and we've got parents and we've got people in our lives. We got his brother-in-law's got cancer. We've got a son that's told us he don't believe in Jesus anymore. And it's not. It hurts. But when I go at night and she and I get on her, we just pray. God does something. And he just says, it's going to be all right. You just hang in there. I'm doing something you'll not understand. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and my thoughts higher than your ways and your thoughts. Sarah and Abraham were in lockstep. They didn't know how God was going to give them a baby, but they trusted him anyway. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get there. Cole, let me tell you, you got to get there, and I want you to get there before I got there. I don't know if you do that or not, but let me tell you, praise be unto the Lord. Pray. Every husband and every wife ought to be praying together. Every day. And I want the young people, I want my church family to know how important it is to me and how sustaining it is to me to lock in with my spouse and have faith together. It is the one night, now it's not always been gee whiz and hallelujah. One night I'd fallen asleep in my chair. I know you guys don't ever do that, but I did. And she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, honey, we got to go to bed. And I said, she said, I'm going to bed. We got to pray. And I stood up and I said, okay, and I was still somewhere half asleep, and I said, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. And you know, that's the only one I remember praying. Let me tell you something. They were faithful. They considered God faithful. And ladies and gentlemen, you may need to be reminded today that God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants. That's us. As many as the stars of the heaven, and many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. 2,000 years before the cross, God made a promise. 4,000 years later, 2,000 years on the other side of the cross, here we are. The same God of Abraham that promised him then is the same faithful God that we serve if you're born again. And I've come to just rejoice with you today that our God is faithful. Amen. 1859, Charles Blondin was one of the most well-known acrobats. Tim, I know we're going to do something here, tenderly calling, so be ready. Sharon, you in here? Come on. Tell them to hold the chicken. We'll be there in a minute. But Charles Blondin, and I'll tell this story and then we'll pray. One of my favorite illustrations of faith, great faith, is he was a great acrobat, and he strung a rope 900 feet long over the Niagara Falls in one of the most dangerous places. And he started walking across it every day, and people started coming seeing him. They pay money to see him. Walking across Niagara Falls on a rope, he walked back and forth. Not only did he walk, he pushed a wheelbarrow across it. He would push a wheelbarrow across that rope about that big around, and he pushed it back and forth. Not only did he get to the point where he could push the wheelbarrow, he began to put bricks in the wheelbarrow and would walk across it. He was a phenomenal man, one of the greatest acrobats ever lived on the planet. You can read about him, not right now, but you can read about him. You can look him up on YouTube, whatever. One day, a whole bunch of people just shouting hallelujah. Well, look what he's going to do. Man was taking bets. He said, I bet he can do it again. And this other guy said, I bet he can't. And they started back and forth. And Charles Blondin turned to man and said, I bet you can do it again. He said, you believe I can do this again? He said, yes, sir. I believe you can do it again. He said, will you come get in the wheelbarrow? It's entirely possible for you to walk into this room and walk out of this room and not be in the wheelbarrow. You can watch it. You can sing about it. You can give money to it. But great faith trusts God no matter where you are, no matter when he's going to fix it, and no matter how he's doing it, God can do anything. That's the kind of great faith I want for every Christian there is, the kind of faith I need in my own life.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions about today's sermon or what it means to be a follower of Jesus, please reach out to us. It is our prayer that God would continue to help us know him more through his word. You can find past sermons and other helpful resources on our church app, or our website, ebcmonroeville.org. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son.